we interrupt this program to bring you...
O-T, O-T.
It's disgusting. I don't want to talk about it. No, it's too disgusting. Don't say it. It's disgusting.
Welcome back to OT here, hour number two of the program on this Thursday. Rolling right along here. Just now joining us, it's Tanner Carson with you again. I'm your host. Got AJ Cook with me and Cole McCormick taking your phone calls, running the board, making sure we sound excellent as we take you up until 8 o'clock tonight. And as we usually do to kick off hour number two, we're going to turn it to Mr. McCormick. Going to give us some recruiting nuggets. All the eyes are on you, Cole. The whole world is watching. No pressure.
All 37 listeners.
All 37. Yeah,
all 37. Hey, damn it, we love the 37.
We love them. We do.
Hashtag one of 37.
It's true. It's true. Okay, let's see. First up for tonight, Roy Dell Williams has received an offer from the Vols. He tweeted out back on the 11th, actually, blessed to receive an offer from the University of Tennessee, hashtag Vols. Mr. Williams, he is currently an Alabama commit, class of 2020 running back out of Hueytown, Alabama, in Hueytown High School. He's 5'10", 202 pounds, so pretty solid little guy. Four-star prospect, according to 247 Sports Composite, number 20 overall running back in the 2020 class. So never know. Never know what could happen. He is a current Alabama commit, but I mean, if we cut a big enough check, he could be a Vol. So we will have to wait and see for Mr. Williams. Let's see. Up next, Mike Wyman has released his top 20. Wow, interesting. But he tweeted out today, his top 10 is coming soon. Decision day is slowly approaching. Tennessee is in the top 20, along with the Vols, Ole Miss, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, Indiana, Duke, Purdue, Arizona State, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Rutgers, Florida State, Vanderbilt, Michigan, Syracuse, Kentucky, Virginia.
Same thing.
Who's this? Maryland and ECU.
They're all nerds.
Make out his top 20. Let's see. Mr. Wyman, he's a 6'4", 195-pound receiver out of Dudley High School in Greensboro, North Carolina. He is also in the class of 2020. Let's see here. Four-star prospect, according to 247 Sports, number 22 overall wide receiver in the 2020 class. Should be trimming down his list fairly soon. He will be signing. Well, I'll take that back. He's next year's class, so he will not be signing next week.
Mm.
But he will be trimming down the list soon. So be on the lookout for that.
Sure.
Let's see. Up next, we got Nick Figueroa. He is out of Riverside Community College.
Figueroa.
Okay.
It made me think of opera. I'm sorry.
Defensive end, 6'5", 270 pounds. Pretty big guy. Big guy. He tweeted today.
He's definitely a bass singer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Probably. He's pretty big. He's pretty big, yeah. He tweeted earlier today, finished my AA today. Headed to Knoxville tonight. So he will be in Knoxville this weekend.
Cool.
Mr. Figueroa, like I said, defensive end out there in Riverside, California. He is in the 2019 class, and he is also an early signee and early enrollee. So we will know his decision here pretty soon. Three-star prospect, according to 247 Sports. Number one, strong side defensive end in the JUCO ranks. So pretty sought-after guy. Along with Tennessee, his offers, just to name a few, UCLA, USC, Cal, and Virginia Tech, just to name a few. So maybe Coach Pruitt and company can get another big guy to come to Knoxville. And then last one for the night, I just saw this one as we were coming back on air. Jermaine Burton has released his top five schools. Tennessee is one of them, along with Tennessee, is Georgia, Alabama, LSU, and Miami. Mr. Burton is out of California, Calabasas, California, at Calabasas High School. Wide receiver, 6'1", 193 pounds. He is in the 2020 class also, four-star prospect, though, according to 247 Sports, number 12 overall receiver in the 2020 rankings. Crystal ball right now, Tennessee is not in them. 50% to Alabama, 33% to Miami, and 17% to Georgia. but Tennessee should feel pretty good about his services since he has trimmed down his list. So that will be another 2020 guy to watch in the coming months. And with that, that's all I got for tonight.
Well done.
That's all I got. Thank you.
You know what? With early signing day looming here, I'm just going to put the call out to all recruits that are considering Tennessee. There's a very unique opportunity here. It's not a whole lot of places in the country where you can play for a team that doesn't have an offensive coordinator.
It's true. It's true.
Not a whole lot of places in the country offer that.
Good point by you.
Unique selling point. If it's anything, it's definitely unique.
That's an interesting angle to take.
That's right.
You will have no coach.
That'll separate you from teams like Alabama, Georgia. Yeah. Like what? Why would you want to go there where everything's stable and normal?
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Boring is what it sounds like.
You know what? You know what? Maybe we are the idiots here. Maybe Jeremy Pruitt has been playing six-dimensional chess,
buddy,
while everybody else is playing checkers.
That's true.
This is a this is what he does to get these big-time recruits to sign on the dotted line. Fax in that letter of intent. That unique selling point. Yeah. Let's play without an offensive
coordinator. Let's go. 200 IQ.
We'll just call our own place. We'll have a PlayStation on the sidelines. Plug up to NCAA 14. We'll just ask Coach. Ask Corso. Okay.
Very interesting.
That's ask what you'll Corso. Do. It gives you three great plays to choose from.
Okay.
Just run something.
Why not?
Just pick one. Simple as that.
Yeah. Got a 1-in-3 chance of not being a complete disaster.
I mean, hundreds of millions of people that played that game can't be wrong.
I mean, I had success myself as an offensive coordinator on NCAA 14.
There you go, man.
I mean, average around 60 points per game.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to brag.
Were you air raid?
I was air raid.
I figured.
I was air raid. But, hey, I was air raid in formation, but I respected my running game, too.
Okay, good.
I had a 1,000-yard rusher.
So the best strategy in that game was obviously if you're going to do dynasty, you got to start off as a coordinator, work your way up to head coach,
oh,
right?
Oh, for sure.
For sure. Okay. The best strategy, spread option, Georgia Tech. Get rid of the triple option right off the bat.
Okay.
And you, easy. Like, you have 3 10-million-yard rushers. Easy.
Wow.
Every single time.
Interesting. Interesting.
Man. You're welcome.
That's gonna be a relic now when you go back to play NCAA 14. Once Jeff Collins gets in there at Georgia Tech and they start running a normal offense.
They're not running a high school offense?
Not running that triple option, man.
Is it 1920 anymore down there in Atlanta?
Man, it's going to be so weird, man. It's almost like Bobby Dodd's actually still down there.
Yeah. Leaving UT, go down to Georgia Tech.
Think of like some other talking about offensive strategy on NCAA 14 real quick while we're still on that. On Dynasty, I was air raid, yes, because that's just my philosophy. When I played versus friends, though, it was a little different because the friends I played against were usually they weren't great on defense, but they knew how to shut down my air raid.
Sure.
So what I'd do, I'd have a special multiple-style playbook I would have. And it'd be really like a pro-style thing. It'd be kind of simple. It'd be like pretty balanced, but kind of run heavy at least.
Sure.
Okay.
And I always played as LSU.
Okay.
For some reason, that personnel LSU has on that on NCAA 14, combine it with my multiple balance playbook, I'm like unbeatable. I hit him with the play action all the time. Don't see it coming.
You hear that, Jeremy? If you're listening.
Like I run with a fullback and everything, man.
Oh, I love it.
It's 90s football porn is what
Let's
it is.
Go.
Oh, man. That's exactly what it is.
I'm here for it.
But, Cole, we thank you for your recruiting updates.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well done.
As always, I want to go over to FoxSportsKnoxville.com.
Okay.
Wanted to get into this piece one of our writers wrote, breaking down the first-year Power 5 coaches in 2018. Oh, that guy's sitting right across from me. A.J. Cook.
He sounds hideous.
No, he has a great-looking profile picture right here.
Oh, yeah.
Great-looking profile
about that picture.
Suit and tie, man. Oh, orange tie.
I need to change that. I need to change to my one on Twitter where I'm talking to a pack of napkins.
I was wondering what you were doing in that. I'm like, what is
buddy, I was drinking in that one. That was...
Buddy, let me tell you, I was drinking.
Let me tell you.
Drinking.
Drinking. When you wake up to a picture like that on your phone, it's a problem.
I have so many questions now. Moving on, though. Still a quick rundown. So if you pay attention to our work on FoxSportsKnoxville.com, in the middle of the season, AJ gave a midseason ranking of all the 13 first-year Power 5 head coaches. And by the way, that means it doesn't mean they all have to be first-time head coaches. It's just their first year at a new Power 5 job.
Right.
So the likes of Dan Mullen were included on this list too. So let's give a rundown of the end of season. So you had these three different tiers.
We had three different tiers. We had the basement, as I called it, on the right track, which is kind of middle of the pack, and right out of the gate, which are guys that just had great first years. The only little asterisk on this list is Matt Luke. He did have last year as an interim. I counted him as a first-year head coach for content's sake, I guess. I don't really know. And interestingly enough, he actually fell the furthest on this list out of everybody.
Yeah, he took a big nosedive. What we're going to do, we're going to give you more time to really get down to this next segment. But before we head to the break, let our lovely sponsors give you a quick word. I want to give you a quick word concerning Knoxville Stone Interiors. KSI, that is your go-to kitchen and bathroom countertop renovation source. They have been helping the local community for over a decade now. They got three generations of experience in the natural stone countertop industry on their friendly and courteous staff. Me and AJ will be there tomorrow. Be coming to you live on Periscope with Kelly. And she may have Dusty. May have Dusty a dog.
I haven't met Dusty yet.
You have not met Dusty.
Dusty is the sweetest little dog.
I can't
adorable.
Wait.
I went there yesterday. He was so happy to see me.
I love dogs.
He ran from the back office. He just came up and greeted me. He was excited. I pet him a little bit. When I had to stop petting him, he started whining.
Yeah, he didn't.
I felt bad.
Yeah, he didn't let me put him down.
He's so sweet.
Oh, Dusty.
Well, hopefully you're able to meet Dusty tomorrow. We shall see.
Hope so.
But whether Dusty's there or not, it's going to be a friendly atmosphere when you walk into KSI. You get to see the fantastic options that they have. Hundreds and hundreds of surfaces from granite, quartz, marble, and more. They are all starting at the best value in Knoxville. Won't find any deal better for whatever surface you have in mind for your countertop. They do any project, big or small, from starter homes, remodeling, to flipping. If you want to do a big size commercial project, they will help you out. Big or small, and most installations of their countertop products will take less than a day. No need to set aside a whole week for a big big project. No need to stress out over that. They will be in and out of your home in a jiffy. Go over and see the KSI showroom at 3900 Millbrook Pike. They're located right in the heart of Knox County. Call them at 865-971-5800. They will give you a free in-home estimate for your project when you call them. You can check them out online at knoxstoneinteriors.com. Check out the Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter as well. Kelly is updating those with all the newest deals, all the newest specials every single day. Follow them on social media, and you will not be able to miss out on any specialty going on over there. And like I told you, me and AJ will be there tomorrow. Look for us on Periscope. Be talking to Kelly about definitely those cutting boards, those granite marble cutting boards. We saw them back there in the showroom. Beautiful hand-cut products. Start out as low as $20. They're going fast. As Christmas approaches, they are going fast. I've been telling you that they are first come, first serve. So if you see one there that you want for either yourself or somebody on your wish list, you need to get it ASAP. No guarantee that it will be there the next day. So go get on that. Got the granite beer flats as well. So many fantastic options at KSI beyond the wonderful countertop of renovations, which is their bread and butter. But they have so many things. Go check them out down there. Tell them Fan Run Radio sent you. Support us here at Fox Sports Knoxville so we can eat, please.
I'm hungry.
Because I get hungry. And you wouldn't like me when I'm hungry.
Feed me.
Oh, my God. I think on that note, we're gonna call it a break here. Every time I hear this, I expect to hear Bratman's rant.
Yeah, I know.
But I forget this is the other bumper version without his rant. Man, he'll be missed.
He will be. Yeah.
He left us talking to us about his favorite Christmas song is Gucci Mane's Christmas song.
Yeah, he was saying that last night, which isn't a shock. He is a big rap fan.
He's a cultured.
He is a cultured person. He is. He's very cultured.
Man. DB will be missed. Already out there in the tri-state. And
Mid-state.
Yeah, mid-state. God, I said tri-state. Jesus.
Tri-Cities,
well,
Mid-State.
Yeah, he is in the Tri-State. He's somewhere in the state of Tennessee.
That's true. That's true.
He's out in the Mid-State. I don't know where he's going for vacation.
Yeah.
Still don't know. His family's going to surprise him.
I thought that was very interesting.
Take him out to Thailand or somewhere mysterious like that.
Very interesting.
Not to say Thailand's mysterious, but it is a long way away. All right. We told you we'll break it down a little bit. Time for A.J. Cook to shine here. We got his rankings, end of regular season 2018 rankings of all 13 first-year Power 5 head coaches. And we'll compare where they were in the midseason, see if they took a step up, took some steps back, stayed the same. Let's get into it, starting off with the basement.
Yeah, this is my 50th post for FoxSportsKnoxville.com. I didn't even realize that.
Half the century, man. There. Good job.
That was the 50th article I got posted. All right, so we're in the basement. So we had 13 total coaches on the list. Broke it up into 4 on the bottom, 5 in the middle, 4 on top. At the bottom of the basement, you got the two obvious ones. You got Chad Morse at Arkansas and Jonathan Smith at Oregon State.
I think it's not a stretch to say out of any Power 5 job, period, not just the first-year ones, Chad Morse did the worst.
Yeah, for
sure. I mean, when you get blown out by almost 30 points by North Texas
at home. Yep.
Yikes.
Big yikes. So their only wins came against Tulsa and Eastern Illinois. Mm. So that's why Chad Morris and Arkansas at the bottom, 2-10 record. They were 13th in the midway through the season rankings as well. So they didn't move.
Stayed right at the bottom.
Stayed right at the bottom. Jonathan Smith at Oregon State moved down one spot from 11 with the 2-10 record. They actually beat a Power 5 opponent, though, Colorado.
They did.
So that's why they're a little ahead. And then you got Chip Kelly and Scott Frost, the other two in the basement. Chip Kelly finished with 3-9 record, Scott Frost 4-8. And this is kind of self-explanatory. I mean, UCLA played a lot of teams close, just couldn't really close, I guess.
Nebraska had a big problem closing early in the season, too.
Right. Kind of the same situation. But towards the end of the season, they actually started to close.
Yeah, that's so. Also true. I think for Frost and Kelly, those respective fan bases, disappointing season overall, but they ended the season with more hope than they had to start out.
Right.
So at least they are trending in the right direction.
Exactly, yeah.
Speaking of the right direction, your next tier ranking of these coaches is on the right track.
On the right track, that is correct. So we got 5 coaches in this category. At the bottom, number 9, Willie Taggart. What to do with Willie Taggart? I put it in the article. All you really need to know is that after 36 straight seasons, they didn't make a bowl game this year.
That's bad.
Real bad.
You hate to be the guy who ended that streak, and especially in your first season. Not a good way to gain favor of the Seminole fans.
Yep.
This may be harsh. Willie Taggart reminds me a lot of Butch.
In what regard?
Not the personality. I don't know, just his coaching performance.
Recruits well and can't coach?
What's looking like so far? Now Butch didn't take one Power 5 job and left after one season like Taggart
Correct.
Did with Oregon.
Right.
I don't know. There's a lot. There's just some similarities, just the feeling I get. Yeah. I don't know. It's nothing more than a feeling.
We'll see what happens, I guess. I know Bobby Bowden is rolling over in his recliner right now. That is
about to say, not a grave. He is still
alive.
Alive
and well. Yes. That interview he did with Trey and them was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't realize that he had so many connections to Nealon.
That's crazy.
I learned something through that interview. Then Matt Luke is who we were talking about earlier. He was number 2 in the halfway through the season rankings with a 5-2 start to the season. They finished 5-7.
Not ideal.
Awful. That is, I blew it all to hell. He couldn't have done any worse the back half of the year. I put in the article, the first 7 games, they averaged almost 42 points a game. Care to guess what they averaged the last 5?
Well, I'm looking at it right now, but I'll let Cole guess.
They went from 42 points a game to
17.
Higher.
23.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Not good.
Huge fall off. Huge.
Huge.
Blew some games, too. I think of Vanderbilt
right.
immediately.
Mm, sure.
Should have won that game.
Yep. Yeah. They completely failed down the stretch there. I don't know, because Tamu kind of fell off, too, didn't he? They just all fell off. Whatever.
Yeah, he did, man.
It all fell apart.
They made a big mistake in taking the interim tag off of him.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he can turn around. We'll see, I guess. It is Ole Miss, so who really cares?
Sure. That's a good point.
And then the middle of this group, we have Kevin Sumlin at Arizona. Now, Kevin Sumlin at Arizona and Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, kind of one and the same. They both were relatively disappointing. I put Pruitt ahead just because he had two top 25 wins, but they both finished 5-7. Sumlin finished 4-5 in the Pac-12, which is nice. Pruitt only finished 2-6 in the SEC. So.
But you compare conference strength. Much easier conference.
Sumlin 7, Pruitt 6. And then Herm Edwards, Arizona State, finished 7-5. Buddy, you remember in the offseason we were all making fun of him? He just sounded like an idiot in front of the media.
His introductory press conference, I'll never forget the guy from the website Devil's Digest asking him a question. Well, I'm Catholic. I don't do no devils now. Coach, do you know the nickname of the team you are now the head coach of?
Mm-mm. The Sun Devils.
Yeah. And what was that whole thing called when he took over? It's because, like, literally at the start of the transition, they fired Todd Graham, put Herm Edwards in. Everyone else on that staff was going to stay the same except head coach. He called it the new leadership model. Remember that?
Right. He said he was going to run it like an organization.
Ended up having coordinators leaving and stuff like that. But, man, he ended up not doing bad. He made some people eat some of their words. He got a win over a ranked Michigan State team early in the season that kind of set them up for decent success by Arizona State standards, winning a record overall and in conference.
I don't know if they'll get a lot better than 7-5 down the road here, but
I think that's good enough for them, man.
I think they're
go to Arizona State. You don't go there as a student to watch good football. You go there to party.
Oh, for sure.
You go there to party and drink enormous amounts of alcohol. You swim in a pool 365 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you go out there for. If you go 7-5, that's probably good enough for them.
0% humidity. Just living in a desert.
Just 120 degrees, but no humidity.
No humidity. That's all that matters. And then we got the top four. Hell out of the gate. They killed it this year. They did really well. Number four, Mario Cristobal at Oregon. 8-4 record.
Could have ended a lot better.
It could have ended. Yeah, they definitely blew it against Stanford. I'll never forget that. That was insane.
God, that was bad.
But other than that, Cristobal is picking up the pieces after Taggart left after one season. So we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he'll be all right. Joe Moorhead, number three,
yes.
Mississippi State, 8-4. I don't know if he's legit or not. I put in there, I don't know if Nick Fitzgerald's to thank for all the success they had this year.
He got handed a very, very well-stocked cupboard.
Right.
Not just Nick Fitzgerald, but I'm talking about Jeffrey Simmons and other people on that defensive side of the ball. It kind of helped that Bob Shoup prove that, yes, he was an elite defensive coordinator. I wish we could have seen that.
Tennessee just ruined him.
I don't know. It's Tennessee. I think it's Butch. I think the Butch stink. He just had to wash it off.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both, to be honest. We're cursed here, man.
Don't give me that.
We're not going down that road.
Don't give me that.
We're not going down that road. I think, so all the teams they lost to, all four of their losses were to teams that finished in the top 25. So they beat the teams they were supposed to beat, lost the teams that they maybe could have beat. But either way, Joe Moorhead, number three. Jimbo Fisher, number two. I struggled with putting Jimbo Fisher at two and Dan Mullen at one because I hate Dan Mullen and the Florida Gators. But we'll give Jimbo number two just because he finished with the lesser record, 8-4. I wrote it. I still don't understand why Florida State ran him off. You can't give me one good reason why they ran off Jimbo Fisher after one bad season. Mentioned the Texas A&M LSU game, which was utter insanity. The 27 overtime game.
I wish that would have gotten to 8 overtimes. I was praying that got to 8.
That was such a wild round, man. But the only teams they lost to were Clemson, Bama, Auburn, and Mississippi State, maybe? Who am I missing? It was Clemson, Alabama, top two teams.
Hold on. I'll tell you.
Auburn.
Because the season wasn't that long ago.
A&M.
A&M lost.
I got their schedule. I got their LSU? Schedule here.
No, they beat LSU.
Oh, yeah. That was that overtime game.
Yeah. Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
In Starkville.
So they lost to four quality teams.
Yeah.
For what it's worth. So Jimbo Fisher, number two, and then Dan Mullen at one.
I mean, it's true.
9-3 record.
I mean, it's true. He took a team that was 4-7 last season, made them 9-3. You even put in the article, I mean, they're not a good team.
They're bad.
They're not as good as their 9-3 record suggests, but they found a way to win some games. And they won every game they were supposed to, with the exception of Kentucky. But you saw how good of a team Kentucky was.
Sure.
Damn, who would have thought it would have ended up like that? Game number two, he loses to Kentucky. He's the one that loses the streak.
Right.
And then ends up with not a bad record.
God, I hate that guy. You talk about Taggart being like Butch Jones. Dan Mullen is Butch Jones.
Dan Mullen's like Butch in personality. He's a Butch personality, better on the field coach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we're better coaches.
Damn
on the
it.
Field
he made Butch. Felipe Franks a serviceable quarterback.
And what happens if Emory Jones gets good?
Blah, 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 blah.
What do we do?
Blah, 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 blah. I'm not listening to you. I don't want to think about it. Forget football. We're basketball school.
Yeah, that's right. That's
number
right,
three
that's
team
right.
in the country.
Yeah.
Gonna whoop Penny Hardaway's ass on Saturday. Let's go.
Let's go.
But, AJ, in all seriousness, fantastic article, sir.
Thank you.
Fantastic breakdown of how these first-year coaches did. You want to get more of a detailed breakdown yourself? That article is over online at foxsportsknoxville.com. Just look for the article, re-ranking the first-year Power 5 head coaches by our boy, AJ Cook. Give it a click. If you like it, give it a share, a retweet, what have you. Spread the word, man, our digital team, man. They work hard. Put out some quality hashtag content all year round. Nope, we're going to have some basketball preview stuff or review stuff. We're going to have something to do with basketball coming up this weekend as well. There's a lot to tell you, AJ. I'm like Mother Goose, my little
Mama.
Ducklings.
Mama.
Why'd you have to do that?
Mama.
Birthdays up next.
Time to play the game. It's all about the game.
Laptops are closed.
Laptops are closed too.
Oh, AJ's got cold fluster.
Oh, yeah.
Tops.
Got some free real estate in that head, don't I?
Rent free, baby.
Rent free.
AJ, what's your record? 0-4, 0-5?
Not very good.
You're winless.
Very winless.
You're looking for a win, and you're only on the show once a week. You don't have many opportunities. Let's get you one.
Let's go.
Let's get you one. Got to slay Cole, the beast that is Cole McCormick.
What? Are you on a streak right now?
You lost to DB.
I lost to DB
last week.
Last week.
Not sometime. A big streak.
No. Yeah.
Okay. A streak nonetheless.
This December 13th, we have five birthdays. If I have to give it a grade, let's see. That's an A-plus name. That's an A name. That's a C-plus name. It's a B name. And a B name.
Are you rating their names or how popular they are?
Popular.
How known they are.
Okay. Yeah, known.
That you're rating their names.
Overall, I'm going to give it an A-. I still think this is an A- overall list.
Do we have a This Day in History, or we got...
No, we got five.
Are these all from today?
Yes.
Really?
All today.
Man, the last 2 days have just been a drag.
And keep in mind, I had to take two from today, so we're not having Ricky Fowler or Steve Buscemi.
Sure, yeah.
So okay. Neither of them.
Got it.
Well, let's get down to it here. Start off with, like, the least name recognition. Although, if you're a music fan, especially of 2000s music, you'll know this person. She's 37 today. She's an American alternative rock singer.
Good.
Of the band called Evanescence.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Such as Bring Me to Life.
Hang on.
Lithium. What's the other?
It's not Allison.
Broken.
I can't sing with
that Sean Morgan dude from Seether,
yeah.
Who was her boyfriend.
Right. And that's who the song Wake Me Up is about.
She has a short name. I'll give it to you that. Like, first and last names are short. They're each three letters long.
Amy Lee.
Is Amy Lee.
You can't accuse him of looking it up.
He's, no.
Amy Lee.
And Bring Me to Life.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
She's good, man.
Wake me up! Can't wake up! I love Bring Me to Life, man. I love it.
She can sing, man.
I tell you a good thing she did. If you're a fan of Korn, too, Korn did an MTV Unplugged, and it's like 06, 05, something. They do Freak on a Leash Unplugged with her singing, too.
She can play piano, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. She's very good. I don't know what she's been up to for like the past 10 years, but...
Probably just rolling in her money, I guess. That's what I'd be doing.
Probably. If she's just 37, then, man, she was really young when they got popular. Wow. Like,
you know what I think of every time I hear Wake Me Up by Evanescence?
What's
Y'all
that?
See that episode of The Office where Will Ferrell juggles, well, fake juggles to that song? You need to go watch it.
Watch it. Gotcha.
You need to go watch it. He doesn't use juggling balls. He just acts like he's got them. And he juggles to that song. You need to go watch it. It's so funny.
I think of the Goofy singing that one. Y'all heard that one? Okay. Wake up.
What?
You got to check that out.
I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, I'm not surprised. There's always anything you can think of on the internet, it's most likely
it's
on there.
Yeah. Sure.
All right, let's move on here. 1-0 Cole with Amy Lee. Good job for Cole.
Yeah, well done.
Wouldn't have thought you would have got Amy Lee. No offense.
Oh, thank you.
I just didn't know. I know you would have thought of Evanescence, but didn't remember the singer. Oh, well, let's move on here. He is 93 today. He is still alive. This is an American actor, movies and TV, most notably TV. He starred in a show that bared his name. It was a show that was popular in the 60s.
Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yep. Him and Mary Tyler Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, what else is he in? Oh, Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. Yep. Yeah. Bye Bye Birdie. Dick Tracy,
mm-hmm.
Curious George, Night at the Museum, yeah.
Oh, he was right. Night at the Museum, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's one of the grumpy old maintenance men.
Yes.
Security guards, not maintenance guys.
Yes.
Security guards.
He still has one of the most aggressive names on the market.
Dick Van Dyke, he really does.
Yeah, it's an aggressive name. Yeah, and we obviously don't need to get into that.
That could be like a heavy metal band.
show ran from 1961 to 1966. Oh, y'all are insane. AJ, you're in the danger zone.
Danger zone.
What happened to the last time you were on here? Your strategy, just blurt out names.
I can't even think of any 93-year-old actors, man.
You're going to have to start blurting out stuff.
They are a rare breed.
Because if you lose one more, you lost the game. But here we go. Colleen 2-0. He is 51 years old today. He's an American actor and musician, multi-talented. He's also a comedian.
Jamie Foxx?
It is Jamie Foxx.
Ooh, Jamie Foxx.
Have y'all watched his stand-up?
Yes.
No.
Uh-oh.
It's all right.
I saw, I forgot whose roast it was, but it was his turn to speak at a roast, and there was like this barely-known comedian or something. It was at comedian's time to do his monologue or whatever. Jamie Foxx is like sitting down, like listening to him. Like he grabs a mic and he keeps talking about how bad like this comedian's bombing and everything, and like it's getting a bigger reaction than the comedian up there just because he was doing so bad. You need to check it out. You'll get secondhand embarrassment.
Have y'all heard how he got? Jamie Foxx isn't his real name. That's like his stage name, his actor name.
Real name is Eric Marlon Bishop.
Have you heard how he got Jamie Foxx?
How?
Well, long story short, I was watching a video the other day, and he said when he first started doing stand-up, the club or the whatever, wherever he was, would always let women's names go first, but they would never know like who it was. They just looked for a woman's name on the list and called out. So he started with Jamie Foxx, and he had a few others that could be like either guy or girl names. And then Jamie Foxx, he used that one night, and that was like apparently his best stand-up night, so he just stuck with it.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That's good strategy from him.
Yeah.
Wow, really good strategy. Yeah, he's been on a bunch of stuff, man. To talk about Ray, the Ray Charles biopic.
Django?
So good. Yeah,
stupidly
Django.
I love Django, man. He's so good.
Oh, yeah. Love Jamie Foxx.
Which White House movie was he in? Was it White House Down?
White House Down.
Okay. It was either that or Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah, he's White House Down.
He played Electro in The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Did he really?
Yeah. The Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
I didn't watch it.
Like those movies, man. They get bad rap.
I hadn't seen
Second
that.
One wasn't good. I will say that.
There's just too many of them. Too many Spider-Mans. Too many.
I love Spider-Man.
I mean,
though, they're
trying to do the thing they did with 007 and James Bond, but I mean, it's Spider-Man versus James Bond. Come on.
This one, the animated one, looks pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
The Spider-Verse.
That's completely different, obviously, but.
Yep, still looking good, though. So, 2-1 here. We got two more names. He's 70 years old today. He's an American musician, guitarist. Solo.
Slash?
No. Popular in the 70s. He's also part of this super group in the 80s as well, but he's really known for being a solo artist. He's known for very controversial political statements.
Ted Nugent.
It is Ted Nugent.
Tana?
Ted Nugent.
Sorry, AJ.
I hate this game so much.
Uncle Ted.
Can we do like trivia or something?
Uncle Ted.
Uncle Ted, man.
Well, I don't know. We may do like a history trivia thing and have Cole host it, maybe.
Sure.
It's because of a challenge Bratman gave me. Talk about my history knowledge.
He was calling you out. Yeah, he really was.
Calling out a man with a degree in history. Okay.
Yeah, he was calling you out. Yeah.
And who just big watches time. Random history videos when he has free time.
Block him, block him.
Okay. You watch Drunk History?
I used to.
I love Drunk History, man.
I watch these random YouTubers. They're really insightful, though. Right. So that's more of what I do. Cole takes the game. AJ loses again.
I want a drug test on him right now. Right now.
Like Adderall or something.
Adderall. Steroids.
Well, I
don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know what you're talking about.
Last birthday, just for fun here. She turned 29 today. Arguably one of the biggest pop stars in the world.
I saw this on Twitter earlier. It was Taylor Swift.
Say it. Yeah, Taylor Swift.
Oh, I saw it on Twitter. Oh, okay. Taylor Swift.
The Swifties, man. She's got a bad reputation.
Yeah, she does.
She's so overrated.
T-Swizzle.
She's so...
You know, yeah, I'm with you. She, when it comes to like her actual singing, I don't think she's that good. But when it comes to writing songs, I think she's pretty talented.
I will say this. I appreciate her more as a pop singer than when she was a country singer.
Oh, sure.
She pretended to be a country singer. I'm like, you're a pop singer, girl. Just do pop.
Sure.
And it's ended up going pretty well for her.
Country's just honestly like an easy way to get into the music industry. Like, how many people have started off, quote unquote, country, and then when they've gotten big, they've switched to something? Yeah. It's just so easy to get in.
A lot.
Well, I say so easy. Easier to get in than other genres, right. I guess.
That's true. But, yeah, happy birthday, T-Swizzle.
I saw her live once.
Really? How was it?
So,
how much did you pay?
Too much. But, so, my wife loves Taylor Swift.
My girlfriend loves her, too.
Always has.
I understand.
To that point, you know. So, I got her tickets one time, and some dude named Ed Sheeran was opening for her. This is on
Ed Sheeran.
Her Red tour back in the day.
Yeah.
First off, Ed Sheeran is one of the most stupidly talented people I've ever seen.
He is. Yeah, he is.
He's a one-man band. I don't know if he still does it or not, but he was a one-man band.
His lazy eye kills me, though.
Yeah, yeah. It's scary.
He's ridiculous.
It is scary.
But Taylor Swift's live show was good. It was very, very high energy. Lots of lights and flair and all that. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She's a little overrated, but
sure.
Live show was good.
Okay.
Put my neck out for her.
Glad you had a good time.
At least you got to see Ed Sheeran, though.
Ed Sheeran was fantastic.
At least you got to see that, yeah.
He was great.
I wish she quit calling herself a Tennessean, though. She's from Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that is hard to hear.
It's not like she was born in Pennsylvania, moved to Tennessee. No, she lived like most of her life in Pennsylvania until recently. Don't call herself Tennessee.
If she's a Tennessee,
quit being a carpetbagger, Taylor.
If she's a Tennessee, then so is every country music hopeful that moves to Nashville.
I mean, just move to Nashville like everybody else.
Yeah,
I'll stay in Knoxville, good sir.
Yeah,
I don't have to deal with that crap.
Mm-hmm.
Do not have to deal
with
it. 865-546-8200 Got one more segment to go on this Thursday. Last chance to get on the program with us. We're going to wrap it up with a good little puff piece for Tennessee basketball from The Ringer. This piece was amazing. It's going to make you feel really, really good about your basketball program. Be back with that and some other stuff maybe after this. Yeah, the Sweet Sounds of Rocky Top on a Thursday. That's because we're about to make you feel good about Tennessee basketball. And since we don't have a show tomorrow, this is basically the last show before Tennessee takes on Tiger High.
Yeah.
Going out to FedEx Forum to take on Memphis. That's a noon tip-off on Saturday. So that's 11 a.m. Memphis tip-off.
Yeah.
It's a sellout, too. So that's going to be, I don't know, the whole forum is going to be full to capacity at tip-off. That is an early game.
Yeah.
Man, would love to just disappoint that sellout crowd there. Love to disappoint old Penny. Since we're not having a show tomorrow before we get into this piece, do a game pick. Tennessee-Memphis, what's your score? I know I'm doing off the top of my head, but I mean, we will not be having a Friday show. So.
Do we know what the spread is?
I don't think it's, I looked last night. I didn't see
still
one.
Still not up. Let's see. Score prediction. I'll go... 82-65 Vols.
Okay.
82 to 65. I'll go a little closer. I'll do 78-70 balls.
Okay.
Yeah, Memphis, not a good defensive team. Tennessee should be able, hopefully, to take advantage of that, not have a cold shooting day, especially after how the second half of the Gonzaga game went. Going to go with you just because road environment, going to be the first true road game of the year. Penny's going to want to win that game like hell. Mm-hmm. Memphis fans are going to want him to win that game like hell, renewing that rivalry. So they'll come out, give you your best shot, and they got some playmakers like Tyler Harris. However, I think Tennessee takes care of business. Going to say 81-73.
Okay. Yeah, Tennessee right now has an 81.1 chance to win, according to ESPN's matchup predictor.
Go Analytics.
And BPI.
All right, let's get into some of this Ringer piece. You can go check out all this piece on theringer.com. The title, Tennessee's Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams are a match made in college basketball heaven. This is written by Mark Titus of The Ringer. He basically starts out the article saying he was in person for Tennessee Gonzaga out in Phoenix. He expected for Gonzaga to win a close game. He expected it to be a good game, but he knew his story idea was going to be writing about how much of a perfect offensive machine Gonzaga is. Talk about them. Of course, some things went a little differently. And so now he's writing about what he saw from Tennessee basketball, talking about Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. Man, it makes you feel really good. Get into the middle of the article. Mark Titus says, what's going to make Tennessee so successful this season in a nightmare to play in March? There are no off nights when it comes to size, strength, and physicality. As long as Williams and Schofield are on the court together, Tennessee's opponents will have to contend with two physically superior players relentlessly beating the hell out of them. It is one thing to watch on TV as Williams and Schofield fight for position on both ends of the floor and attack every rebound like their lives depend on it. But being able to see 6'7" and 236 pounds of muscle in Williams, play alongside 6'6" and 241 pounds of even more muscle in Schofield, being able to hear opponents grunt as they try to move past those two brick walls, and watching as Rui Hachimura walked to Gonzaga's bench during timeouts with a look on his face that said, quote, I can't believe I still have to endure 12 more minutes of this bull blank. This BS. It was enough to make me want to take a 3-hour ice bath to recover. He says, what really makes Schofield a senior and Williams a junior so special is that they're so physically overwhelming that it's easy to forget how skilled and smart they are. So, yeah, a lot of love to Williams and Schofield in this. And like I said, not enough time to break all this down. But, man, it's a fantastic piece.
Yep.
Makes you excited about Tennessee basketball. Cautiously optimistic because we've been hurt before. But, yeah. Man, it's so weird to be talked about like this on a national stage.
Right.
Like, we've known we've had a good team for a while, but your national opponents think you have a really, really good team.
Sure.
It's almost strange.
It does feel weird. And especially with these kind – I don't want to call it a puff piece because that's not fair, but especially with these kinds of pieces, it can get lost that there's still some things that make Tennessee not perfect. We're not a perfect team by any means, obviously. But he did even hit on it. He said, it's a game plan for Tennessee. You can't really do much. I'm paraphrasing. But all you can really do is cross your fingers and hope that Tennessee goes cold from outside and hope that Williams and Schofield get in foul trouble. And that's what happened when we played Kansas our only loss of the year. And he touched on that. So yeah. It is a well-written article. It's very interesting.
Yeah, go over to The Ringer and read that or on Houston Crest. He tweeted that link out as well. Go check that out. Good work from Mark Titus. For AJ Cook, thank you for joining us again, sir.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see me and him tomorrow at KS on Periscope. For Cole McCormick, congratulations on graduating, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm Tanner Carson. You've been listening to Overtime. We will be back next week.